Getting just over halfway there. It's Over the Hump with a Hump Day edition of the Sports Rush. And it's also White Sox Wednesday. We've got a chance for you to win tickets coming up later this hour. The Sports Rush is your daily local sports fix. And coming up, we're going to have a chance to talk to Shane Alberani, voice of the Comets. He'll join us at about 5:20. Also on the way, as we said, the White Sox tickets. We've got a four-pack of tickets to the game a week from Friday, including a parking pass. And we'll give you a chance to win coming up sometime later this hour. In fact, most likely this will take place somewhere around 5:30 to 5:45. So just keep listening for your chance to win with White Sox Wednesday right here on the Sports Rush. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. We were talking about the NFL sending out this document to teams today that gives the protocols for those that are fully vaccinated versus those that have not been fully vaccinated. And we mentioned a couple of them, the no daily testing required for fully vaccinated players. Also, for non-fully vaccinated, there'll be testing required every single day. So you either get tested all the time or you don't get tested at all, depending if you're vaccinated versus not vaccinated. Masks required at club facilities or team travel. Those will be required fully for non-vaccinated individuals, but there will not be masks at all required at any club facility or during team travel for fully vaccinated individuals. No physical distancing required in any club facility with other vaccinated individuals, while those that aren't vaccinated have to remain physically distant from others in the club, or in the club facility. So maybe in the club too. But it says that if they report to the official club facility, they would have to remain socially distanced from all other members of the team or administration, coaches, etc. There's no quarantine required after a high-risk exposure to COVID. This is interesting. If you have been fully vaccinated and it's determined that you have been exposed with a high risk to COVID and you've been vaccinated, you do not have to go into quarantine. But if you are not vaccinated and they determine that you're a high-risk exposure to COVID, you will be quarantined. There'll be travel restrictions for those that aren't fully vaccinated. There'll be a 15-player limit for those in the weight room when you've not been fully vaccinated, while the weight room can be totally full with no capacity limits if all members in the weight room are fully vaccinated. The fully vaccinated individuals can eat the cafeteria with other vaccinated individuals, while players must be physically distanced in a meal room and may not eat with teammates should they not be fully vaccinated. There's no social media, marketing, or sponsorship activities permitted for those that have not been vaccinated, but there are no restrictions whatsoever on going out, making appearances, doing photo ops or meet and greets, I guess, if you've been fully vaccinated. Probably the biggest one is if you've been fully vaccinated, you can now use the sauna and steam room at the team facilities. Who doesn't want to use the sauna and steam room? Well, the people that are not vaccinated cannot use it. They can't go to the sauna or the steam room. And finally, if you've been fully vaccinated, you can interact with vaccinated family and friends during team travel. So you can go out to eat with your family and friends. You can go see them at the hotel. They can see you at the hotel. If you are not fully vaccinated, you cannot leave the team hotel. You cannot eat in restaurants. You can't interact with anyone outside of the team travel party during any team travel. So, Caleb, I look at this and I'm like, okay, the NFL isn't coming out and telling its players you have to be vaccinated. But by setting up the protocols with this kind of disparity between those that are and those that aren't, it's almost, I mean, isn't it somewhat a subliminal message here? Get vaccinated or don't show up to camp. I mean, that's kind of the way I read it.
Yeah. And, you know, as an employer, you have the right to do that. As an employee, you have the right to opt out. If that is too much, then you can essentially quit the NFL. But I mean, the NFL has every right to do this.
And so, so it's pretty strong. It's a strong message from the NFL about how they are putting an importance on being fully vaccinated. Zach Wilson was actually asked, the New York Jets quarterback, of course, the New York media, they could be kind of aggressive toward players, and probably even more so with those that may seem to be more of the right side of the aisle. And they already have gone after Zach Wilson, asking if he's been vaccinated. And he said that was personal and refused to answer the question. So we don't know. But if Zach Wilson's sitting in a lunchroom all by himself, we will probably learn pretty quickly whether he is or is not vaccinated. So this rash of injuries that's happened in the NBA and is taking out star players. Now, we've already seen guys like Anthony Davis during the season, Lamar Murray out for the Denver Nuggets. It may have cost Denver a chance to advance in the Western Conference. We've seen a number of players that have gone down, including Kyrie, James Harden in Brooklyn. But when you look at this, Joel Embiid is nursing a bad knee. LeBron James has the answer to this, and he believes it's directly related to the NBA's desire to have a very short off season just to get the season started by Christmas. And he came out and kind of went on a little bit of a rant on Twitter. Here's what LeBron James had to say. They all didn't want to listen to me about the start of the season. I knew exactly what would happen. I only wanted to protect the well-being of the players, which ultimately is the product and benefit of our game. These injuries isn't just part of the game. It's the lack of pure rim rest before starting back up. 8, possibly 9 All-Stars has missed playoff games, most in league history. This is the best time of year for our league, but fans are missing a ton of our favorite players. It's insane. There's one person that know about the body and how it works all year. It's me. I speak for the health of all our players, and I hate to see this many injuries this time of year. Sorry, fans. Wish you guys were seeing all your fave guys right now. Does LeBron James have a point?
Well, I would say that a majority of casual fans would be perfectly fine if the NBA didn't start till around Christmas time every year, for one. But he has an excellent point. Look, a short offseason, and then they're going to have another short offseason. You know, I assume they'll go back to a normal schedule for the upcoming 21-22 season in the fall. You know, start late October, early November. I mean, the NBA Finals aren't even supposed to start till almost mid-July.
Do you think there's a relationship, though, between these injuries and the lack of rest on the body?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that they worked really hard schedule-wise to eliminate, you know, back-to-backs in the past, and they're going to have to do the same again in the future, because things like that, the wear and tear, look, these guys are elite athletes. They do things that just do not seem humanly possible. I mean, you have to look at, I mean, you have guys who are 7 feet tall, who can hit threes, who can run down the floor in a handful of steps and dunk a basketball. It's insane. I mean, if you sit down and think about it, it's insane. And they have to be very careful. They have to work really hard to make sure they stay healthy, because the NFL, I mean, yes, I understand it's a brutal sport, but it's a different kind of level of contact. And we've seen a lot of pretty serious injuries in the NBA in the past 2 or 3 years.
Well, we found some that popped up today. Well, the big injury is Kawhi Leonard. He is out for Game 5 for the Los Angeles Clippers, a pivotal game in this series after the Clippers won the last two in Los Angeles to even it up 2-2 against the Utah Jazz. Now, no Kawhi.
You combine the two this time.
Oh, I know.
Kyrie, Kawhi,
Leonard, Lillard. I have trouble. That's like they've got to just come up with better names. But anyway, Kawhi Leonard going to be out tonight. And certainly the focus is on the offensive production that you lose with Kawhi Leonard. But the job he does at the defensive end is probably a bigger effect on the shift of this series. And You know, Donovan Mitchell, he can get bottled up by a guy like Kawhi Leonard when he comes out to defend him. And I'm not sure if Paul George can play defense on Donovan Mitchell. So now you've got to figure out what your rotation is going to be, who picks up Mitchell. I think this is going to be a huge loss at the defensive end. But it puts a lot of pressure on Playoff P. He's, you know, he's labeled himself with the moniker Playoff P, and this is a time where you've got to prove that you're big time in the playoffs, because the show now, the spotlight, turns to you. And can Paul George deliver a Kevin Durant-like performance? Is he capable of carrying the Los Angeles Clippers against the Utah Jazz?
No. And also, can we talk about the disrespect that Donovan Mitchell got the other day? Not even named All-NBA first, second, or third team. I mean, how absurd is
that's
that?
That's ridiculous. Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum.
Both those guys should have been.
Rudy Gobert made the third team over Donovan Mitchell.
Which is, to me, it's laughable.
Rudy Gobert can make it for defensive team. He could be first team. He can be the defensive player of the year any day, anytime. But he is not more All-NBA than his teammate Donovan Mitchell.
Absolutely not. And because of that, I fully expect Donovan Mitchell to go off. I mean, this is a guy who is, I think he is simply underrated only because he plays for the Utah Jazz. Otherwise, he would be a megastar in the NBA. I mean, he is that good.
Yeah, and you know, he might be the guy that goes off. Not Playoff P. It might be Donovan Mitchell. And that's a great point, Caleb, that Donovan Mitchell may have something to prove tonight, because of the diss he got from the NBA not being named to one of the top three teams. And, you know, Jason Tatum also had a terrific year in Boston, but Boston may be a disappointment as a team, and maybe that hurt Jason Tatum.
But he still should have made it. I mean, both those guys.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who I would take off. I mean, clearly I would take Rudy Gobert off immediately.
Part of the problem, too, is it's voted on by position and not just, I mean, they have it, you know, limited with guards, forwards, and a center.
And that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely ridiculous.
Because the NBA is not that way anymore.
If you're going to tie contracts and contract value onto this, let the best 15 players be the top people that make all NBA. You can't say, oh, well, you know, you're the fourth best guard. Yeah, you're the 10th best player in our league, but you're the fourth best guard. Sorry, you're out.
I would take Gobert and Jimmy Butler off. Now, I get that you can't, because of how they made it, based on positions, you know, that doesn't work. So then I guess I'd take
listed as far as
forward.
Position. He's like a three, a four, just list forward.
Forward is how it's. If I have to take off, you know, because of positions, then I mean, you could. Kyrie is on the third team, and that's. I mean, he missed a lot of time. I mean, you could put in Donovan Mitchell
over
him easily.
You could put in Tatum for Butler.
Yeah, and you could put in Donovan Mitchell for Kyrie, right? I mean, I think that's fair.
I think that would be legit or fair. I mean, definitely. But when you're going to tie money into this, because the Supermax, Max deals, all these big contracts, they qualify for those Supermax deals and the Max deals based on making all NBA teams. And if you're going to do that, nobody wants to pay or not pay, depending on whether you're in, you're out. But let's put it in the case of Donovan Mitchell. He deserves the money. He's earned the money. He should be a guy that gets paid at the highest level that's available and that he qualifies for under the NBA collective bargaining agreement.
He should be getting Mike Conley money, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, exactly. And Conley got that money a little bit earlier, but yeah, exactly. I mean, there's no way Donovan Mitchell shouldn't be paid with the top rate of guards in the NBA, and he's not necessarily qualified for it. And I think it's a shame that he didn't make that team. There's so much to talk about with the substance. We're going to have to do that later. You know, I haven't really been addressing this whole baseball substance thing, but now that pitchers are talking, and some of them are saying some dumb things, some are saying some smart things, but it's just, the whole thing with the sticky substance on a baseball, and, you know, whether it's the sunscreen mixed with rosin, whether it's the spider tack. By the way, I looked at spider tack. It's not hard to get. You can order that and get that at any place, anytime. But there are people that are coming out and now naming names of players that he provided substances for. And I guess the question is baseball doing the right thing to try to police this? You know, there was a pitcher that came out and said it's going to only result in more injuries to pitchers. I don't get that. I'm thinking the only thing that could happen is if you try to overthrow because you lose velocity because you've reduced your spin rate. I don't know. But baseball, it's one of those big controversies that's out there again with the sticky stuff. And we've got to talk about it at some point. We don't have time right now, but we're going to have to get into it at some point. Because it's one of those discussions where I think everybody's got a side and everybody's got some kind of a thing to say, and we'll kind of address it sometime here on the Sports Rush. Okay, so coming up between 5:30 and 5:45, we're going to give you a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to go see the White Sox, because it is White Sox Wednesday here on the Sports Rush. It is a White Sox Wednesday. That means 4-pack of tickets to the game a week from Friday against the Seattle Mariners, plus a parking pass. So you'll be able to get all set if you win today's White Sox Wednesday 4-pack giveaway. And it comes up between 5:30 and 5:45 right here on the Sports Rush. But up next, we talk to the voice of the Comet, Shane Alberani. He'll join us next on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6, taking you home on a Wednesday. It's a White Sox Wednesday coming up in about 15 minutes. We're giving you a chance to win White Sox tickets. We got a 4-pack to go to Guaranteed Rate Field in Chicago a week from Friday and see the Chicago White Sox take on the Seattle Mariners. Of course, the White Sox, one of the big stories in baseball, having a very good year, but maybe even a bigger story in Chicago might be the Chicago Cubs, who are having even a better year. I mean, what about the Cubs, man? Now, of course, they've lost twice to the New York Mets, and since we had our Chicago Cubs tribute show Monday, they haven't won a game since. And I think part of it was because Caleb refused to play Cubs Go, Cubs Go. And I think if he'd have played the song, the Cubs would be fine. So I'm passing the buck here, man. I'm giving it to Caleb. And Norma's gonna call me out on that. She's going to say I'm being too hard on you, Caleb, that I'm not supposed to point to do that to you.
I will never do anything on this program in support of the Chicago Cubs. It's a fact.
Such an attitude. All right, so the other night we had a chance to hear the dramatic Game 5 overtime. Nothing like it in playoff hockey when you get to a deciding game. It goes to the extra session, especially when the good guys win. And this is what it sounded like the other night, Monday night, on WoWo.
Harper now with another go on the faceoff with Dorowitz. Wins it back to Siebenhaler. Siebenhaler with a shot in front, back in. Score! 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 The Cabins are going to the conference final! 4-3 in overtime!
I think the Comets won. With that call was the voice of the Comet, Shane Alberani, who joins us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. I love the raw emotion when it just all of a sudden comes out. You could feel it. You could hear it. What energy. What a moment. Great. Another great moment in Comet history, Shane.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was. It was just a terrific series. And, culminated in that one moment. And, you know, when you get into overtime, sudden death overtime, you know, it's anything can happen. So, you know, you're 1 second away from playing on or a split second away from your season ending. So, yeah. It may have got away from me there at the end, but it still felt good.
It sounded just very natural. I mean, sometimes you feel like it's over the top, but I don't think so. The moment was as big as your response to it. I thought it was terrific. Now, let's talk a little bit about that Wichita series before we move forward and then start looking ahead to Allen. It was back and forth, punch, counter punch. That's kind of what we saw with game one versus game two versus game three versus game four. Back and forth it went. But it was also that way throughout the night. The Comets would get an edge, and then Wichita would come back and tie it. It just seemed like neither one of these teams wanted to go down without a fight.
Yeah, no, it was. And, you know, the Comets scored first, two and a half minutes in, I think. That was the key. So right there, if the Comets could start in a good starting point like they did, they're probably going to win the game. And it turned out that way, a little bit closer than we had hoped, but it turned out that way. So the fact that the Comets got the first punch in was very big in that game. And then, you know, in the third period, you know, you had a goal taken off the board due to goaltender interference, and that was something that we've had to deal with through the entire series. So you had that kind of up and down. I want to say we had maybe four goals reviewed through this series. You know, that, especially in that moment in the third period, a chance to go up by one with about 9.5 minutes left, you know, and the officials took, you know, nearly over 3 minutes, I think, to actually make the call. You know, that just added to the tension as well.
But Shane, let's be honest. You're pointing out the fact that they took one away from the Comets, but they also did the same thing and reviewed a couple of others, and they gave those to the Comets.
That is true. But you know what? When it's up on the board, I say you take it off the board. And it was taken off the board. I'm not saying that it was not the correct call, but indeed it was taken off the board.
It's like he only mentioned the one that they said Comets didn't score. He forgot to bring up the fact that they reviewed a couple of others and let the goal stand. And they were close. But I, you know what? I'll be honest, Shane, after reviewing frame by frame on those videos, I thought they got each one of them right. Now, in hindsight, did you have a chance to look at it? And do you now feel like, even though it hurt you immensely at the moment, do you feel like that maybe they got it right?
Yes, no, they did. No, in the moment, of course, you know, they took it off the board. But you know, I only have the luxury of one monitor. It's a few feet away from me, and I don't have all the angles. I have one angle, so from the angle I saw, I thought it was a good goal. But when you look at the overhead cam, yes, it was goaltender interference. And what's funny about this, and I talked about this a little bit even on the air, that in Wichita, they didn't, because we were in the practice rink, we didn't have the capabilities for instant replay. So then we continued with it in Fort Wayne. I thought that was kind of unusual. It's like, you got to be consistent, you know, throughout the series. If you're not going to have it in the first two games, you know, you really can't have it in the next three games just because of the issues. But, you know, you're okay with that. But I thought that was kind of unusual that, you know what, if you go back and look at maybe one of those goals the Comets had in game one, maybe if they review it, it's taken off the board again and Wichita maybe wins that first game. So, yeah, I mean, the video replay thing, I like it and I don't like it. That's like every other sport.
Shane, let's talk about Ben Boudreaux making a pretty, I don't know how bold it was, but it can be considered somewhat bold to put a rookie into a Game 5 situation like that. And he decided to call on Oliver Cooper for Game 5 of this series. And how about the guy delivering and putting in that first goal just a couple of minutes into action?
Yeah, he looked like a genius, right?
Yeah.
You know, he got in there, and right, and Cooper came right around. It was a great wraparound goal. And, I mean, you know, also remember Alan Lasarchuk had not played in the previous two games. So he was put back in there for game number five. Obviously Ben made the right moves, and I think the reason why, you know, you saw Oliver Cooper in there because, you know, he has such energy. He hadn't played in four games up to that point. So, no, he was the right guy for that moment because also he's a bigger guy. This series, I thought a lot of it was won in the corners, and that's Oliver Cooper's spot. He likes to go down there. He's a big hitter. He's not afraid of contact. So you knew he was also going to go to the net. So, no, it was a great move, and it'll be interesting to see where he goes from here playing an Allen team that is just as tough.
Yeah, and when you look at the matchup, Wichita, certainly a terrific hockey team and a big win for the Comets to survive that series. But now they take on someone that might even be a step above Wichita. This is a really good Allen team, a coach that's got tons of playoff experience and tons of playoff success. And so it's not going to be any easier. And one thing that's going to be the biggest challenge, perhaps, is five games potentially in six nights. Now, I don't know if you've had a chance to do any research on this, but is there a calendar available that shows you five Comet games in six nights anywhere in history?
I don't think that exists. I can't imagine that existing, but maybe there is. You know, obviously, you got 69 years of history. Perhaps it happened at one point, but boy, it has just been an absolutely brutal schedule. But you know, you don't get a much, you're not getting much rest, but, you know, the players, I mean, if you kind of ask them, it's like, hey, let's get right back to it. It's almost like a rhythm now. So it's like, you know, they're doing a good job taking care of their bodies and everything else. I was at practice today. Everybody looked really sharp. They did not look tired at all. They're ready to go.
And let's talk about these first two games taking place in Allen. Wichita, an opponent that the Comets had some familiarity with. Allen, not a team that the Comets are that familiar with, other than the fact they've got a couple of players who have a history with Allen. So what do they expect out of the Allen Americans? What are some of the keys going into this series?
You know, this is a Steve Martinson coach team, so you better be ready for contact. Steve Martinson, he's one of the best coaches in minor league hockey. I think he's up to 6 championships, I believe. So this guy knows how to win. He won 4 cups in a row. And this Allen team is also going to be hungry as well. You know, after those 4 cups, they fell on kind of some hard times there, but now they're back to the top of the hill. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a war. And, you know, this team is very similar to Wichita. The fact that I think that they're even a little more physical. I don't think they're quite as skilled up front as Wichita was, but on the back end, they're very good. But it's amazing how much offense this Allen team generates from the blue line. If you look at the numbers by Matt Register and Les Lancaster, they're just unheard of from the defensive standpoint. So the offense actually runs through the blue line. So they may be actually a little bit easier to defend, but the personnel might be a little bit better.
The Americans did have a couple of extra days of rest. So it'll be, you know, the rest versus rust question, I guess, in game one and maybe even in game two, because the Comets come off that overtime game on Monday. Allen finished their series, what, Friday, Saturday?
Yeah. I mean, they've been off a week, but sometimes that's not so good. That's an awful long time to be out of game shape. You know, there's two types of shape. There's game shape and there's practice shape. And sometimes you don't know. You can lose your legs in a week and your timing in a week. So I actually think this favors the Comets just a little bit.
What about the Comets as far as keys to the Comets? I know A.J. Jenks was solid, and he's always solid in the faceoff circle, but he was one of the offensive keys for the Comets in this series.
Yeah, you know, and the matchup that even though they're not going to see each other much, a defenseman and a center, but A.J. Jenks and Matt Register, they were together in Toledo, and these two guys just have a different gear when it comes to the playoffs. We've seen A.J. do it, and Matt Register, if you look at the Comets' history throughout the ECHL, anytime they've had playoff misery, Matt Register has been on the roster. Back in Allen in 2016 with Toledo and with Colorado, the year the Comets lost in overtime in Game 7 of the conference final. So, I'm interested to see Matt Register and A.J. Jenks in their element, two veterans. I'm really looking forward to see what A.J. Can do. And you've got a lot, you know, the Comets look like they have a lot of rookies. You look at them on the roster, but these rookies, many of them from the University of New Brunswick, who have won 4 championships at the university level in Canada. So they're not really rookies. I mean, Matt Bowdens and Oliver Cooper and Randy Gazzola, they have tons of playoff experience. And you know, you can even argue the fact they might even have more than Allen when it comes to that.
Okay, so let's talk about the awards. They were announced today by the Comets, the season-ending awards. No surprise, Anthony Petruzzelli, the defensive forward of the year. Unsung hero goes to Matthew Brodeur. That could have gone to, obviously, a handful of players. Nick Boca, I don't think a big surprise for defenseman of the year. Randy Gazzola, this is one where I thought maybe there were some other players that could have done it. What do you think got Randy Gazzola rookie of the year?
Well, you know, Randy himself doesn't even like to consider himself a rookie because, you know, he played 25 playoff games with Toledo, and he played over in Europe for a season. So, you know, it's the ECHA rule. He's technically a rookie, but you know, he doesn't feel that way. So I think even if you asked him that, you know, perhaps it could go to somebody else. But again, Randy Gazzola, I mean, he has just been so solid. He had that huge, that goal, 2 goals this year, that just highlight reel goals. So, I mean, he's a guy who can play defense. He can work the point. He can be on the power play with Donald Gill. He can do everything. So, you know, maybe Stephen Harper would have been the other choice, who had a tremendous rookie season.
That's who I thought.
Coming in and playing center. You know, he came in, you know, this team was supposed to have Mason Berg on it, and he has decided to retire before the season started. So Stephen Harper was thrust into being a starter a lot of times on that first line.
What about Anthony Nellis? How big of a surprise has he been this year? Because he also came up huge against Wichita.
Yeah, you know, he was a guy who didn't get much playing time the first months of the season. He was the odd man out a lot. But when he got on the ice, you know, he worked himself. Well, he played himself into the lineup. So, you know, Anthony Nellis, you know, he had those two big goals in game one he had the game winner. But game three, he was not on the score sheet at all, and he probably had the best game of anybody. I mean, he was forechecking, backchecking, setting people up. He was hitting. He really is the complete package, and he's a guy that if you look at the roster, he people are going to forget about him. So he's going to be a big key in this next series.
And, of course, he won not only Most Improved, but Mr. Hustle Award MVP. The only surprise here is that he wasn't with the Comets for a good chunk of the season because he was playing up the AHL, but it ends up being Brandon Hawkins.
Yeah, but you look at his numbers, he led the team in goals and points. And if you look at what the Comets' record, what it was when he was gone in Rochester, you'll know why he is the most valuable player. Because, it's not so much the person with the best stats, even though he did, but just most valuable. You took him out of the lineup, it was a different team. He is a guy, when he gets the puck, he's scary good with that shot. It's maybe the best shot I've ever seen at the double-A level. And goaltenders know it too. And, you know, you can ask any goaltender in this league, or especially the guys who he's got to go up against in practice, how much they don't like seeing Brandon Hawkins shoot the puck. But he is the real deal.
Talking to Shane Alberani, voice of the Comets, who joins us here on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. And, of course, the team took off today. They are taking the bus down to Dallas. Shane gets to take the team plane tomorrow.
Yeah, you know what? I like to think that it's a status sign, but it's just because there's not enough room on the bus.
The team plane, by the way, says American Airlines. That's how you'll know it's
correct.
The Comets team plane. Shane will be looking around saying, I don't even think these people really work with the Comets. What are they doing on the team plane?
No.
Oh, man, they suckered you, buddy. All right, so have a good trip, Shane. Enjoy Dallas. We look forward to your call. And, of course, the tickets for Game 3 and hopefully subsequent games go on sale on Friday, 10 a.m. Ticketmaster and the Coliseum Ticket Office. We hope that the jungle is rocking again when these guys get back from Texas. Thanks, Shane.
All right, thanks a lot, Brett.
That is Shane Alberani on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. We'll take a quick break. We're coming back. Chance for you to win White Sox tickets on our White Sox Wednesday. It happens next on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Back on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch, and congratulations to Tin Caps. Duane William Sutton, he's been promoted. Of course, a lot of Tin Caps fans are going to remember that Duane was part of the Tin Caps when they played low-A baseball back in 2019, and so far in 2021, he's really been performing well. Now, he's had to deal with a couple of injuries that have kept him out of the lineup, so his at-bats don't qualify him to be among the league leaders, but his numbers would certainly justify him being best in the league at on-base percentage. He'd be top six in OPS. He is hitting .265 on the year with an on-base percentage of .455, and so only 17 games played here in Fort Wayne this year, but he's been promoted to Double-A San Antonio. So he is on his way up, and congratulations. Always great to see Tin Caps that get that much closer to playing as part of the 260 to the show. In fact, it's funny, on the notes for the game, the Tin Caps, John Nolan and Jack McMullen, they sent, it says 260 to San Antonio. So, yeah, clever. But Duane William Sutton getting the call up. All right, so it is time for our White Sox Wednesday. And now what we're doing here on the Sports Rush, every Wednesday we are going to have a four-pack of tickets to give away to White Sox baseball at Guaranteed Rate Park. And that game that we've got tickets for today comes up 1 week from Friday. They take on the Seattle Mariners in a weekend series. You will be able to be there on Friday night with not only four tickets. This isn't a pair of tickets. This is four tickets plus a parking pass. So four tickets with a parking pass to caller number 7 at 447-8500. 447-8500. You can win on our White Sox Wednesday. Four tickets to see White Sox and the Seattle Mariners in Chicago. Caller number 7, a big winner today on the Sports Rush at 447-8500. 447-8500. Of course, the big question right now with all of the news in the NBA, is there a Pacers coach out there that's available? You've got two more coaches that have entered the unemployment line. One in Washington is Scott Brooks, and that was a matter of Washington and Scott Brooks not agreeing on a contract. His contract expired at the end of the playoffs, and so Scott Brooks is available. You also have, of course, Terry Stotts, who did not was not retained by Portland. So Terry Stotts from Portland, Scott Brooks from Washington. Also, you've got Stan Van Gundy, who was let go by New Orleans earlier today. So Van Gundy, a guy that's available. I'm not high on Van Gundy. I'm not too upset with Scott Brooks, and certainly think Terry Stotts would be an excellent choice. But you're also probably going to get Mike Budenholzer out of Milwaukee if the Bucks don't come back in this series and defeat the Brooklyn Nets. But what a performance last night by Kevin Durant. I didn't think it was possible. I didn't think that KD would take over like he took over and dominate the game, especially in the second half like he dominated, with 49 points. He had 17 rebounds. He had 10 assists. The Nets take the 3-2 lead in the series because they overcome that 17-point deficit and they win it at home. And now, I guess in one way, we need to look at this and say, what a great performance by Kevin Durant. The other thing we've got to say is, what the heck, Milwaukee? You had a 17-point lead over a beat-up basketball team that has injuries across the lineup with Kyrie Irving out and obviously James Harden. Gimpy at best. James Harden ended up 1-for-10 from the field and 0-for-8 from 3-point. He had 5 points, and the Bucks still could not get the job done against the Brooklyn Nets. And so I think that's almost an embarrassing loss for the Milwaukee Bucks. But the Brooklyn Nets take their 3-2 lead into Milwaukee for Game 6, and we'll see if KD can do it again. Tonight the pressure is really on playoff P. Paul George, he's got to come up big for the Los Angeles Clippers against Utah because Kawhi Leonard is out. He hurt his knee late in Game 4, and he's been ruled out tonight. There's no word officially from the Clippers on Game 6 or Game 7, but he has told, according to a report, he has told teammates not to expect his return for the remainder of this series. So we don't know exactly the status of the injury. We don't know if it is going to involve Game 6 or Game 7, but we know for sure that Kawhi Leonard is not going to play Game 5 against Utah, and you've got a Donovan Mitchell that obviously is going to be very motivated after being snubbed off the All-NBA teams, didn't make first team, second team, or third team, and then you've got the pressure on Paul George, whether he can be the guy for the Clippers. I don't see it happening. I didn't see it happening with KD either, but he came through. We'll see what Paul George does. But injuries have obviously been kind of a key for the NBA with so many of the star players that are out. And, of course, LeBron James, who continues to be very vocal, came out critical of the NBA in a series of tweets. LeBron James said, "They all didn't want to listen to me about the start of the season. I knew exactly what would happen. I only wanted to protect the well-being of the players, which ultimately is the product and benefit of our game. These injuries isn't just, quote, part of the game, end quote. It's the lack of pure rim rest before starting back up." Now, LeBron has a very specific regimen that he goes through each year as far as when he rests, what he does to get himself back into shape. And he didn't feel that there was time to go through that cycle in such a short off season. And you've had a number of injuries to key players that have impacted who's advancing in these playoffs. LeBron went on to say that 8, possibly 9 All-Stars has missed playoff games, most in league history. This is the best time of year for our league and fans, but missing a ton of our favorite players, it's insane. If there's one person that knows about the body and how it works all year round, it's me. I speak for the health of all our players, and I hate to see this many injuries this time of year. Sorry, fans. Wish you guys were seeing all your fave guys right now. Now, it's not an injury, but another player, key player, that could be out when the Western Conference Finals begins would be Chris Paul. Chris Paul is going to be out because today he entered the league's COVID health and safety protocols, and so he is out indefinitely for the Phoenix Suns. And I don't see, I mean, the Suns certainly have a talented roster, and they've got guys like Devin Booker. And well, we saw basically the group that would be remaining in Phoenix go 8-0 in the bubble last year, but that wasn't against either the Clippers or Utah. So I think it's going to be a huge loss for the Phoenix Suns if Chris Paul is not out there when the Western Conference Finals begins. And depending on if it's Tuesday, Wednesday, it could possibly be as early, I think, as what, Saturday or Sunday. If you've got a team that wins 2 in a row at this point. So, you know, you would win what, tonight and Friday, and maybe start that Western Conference Finals possibly on Sunday. I know they like to take advantage of that Sunday time slot. I don't know. We'll see. But if it doesn't, if it goes 7 in the Clippers Utah series, that will be a huge advantage to Phoenix because it will buy about 3 extra days for Chris Paul to come back from the COVID protocol. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Caleb, we got a winner.
Keith from Fort Wayne.
Congratulations going to the White Sox and the Mariners. Part of our White Sox Wednesdays right here on the Sports Rush. We'll take a quick break. We're coming back to wrap it up. This is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Interesting. We were just talking during the break. Has there ever been a more uninteresting close series than the Hawks 76ers? I mean, it just, it's not a great brand of basketball. You've got Ben Simmons, who's just not a highlight reel, just kind of an awkward fit. And then you've got Joel Embiid, who basically back to the basket, bounce, bounce, try to push you down low, and then maybe turn and fade on you. It just, I don't know, not thrilled about it. But that is on tap tonight, 2-2 series with the Hawks at 76ers. Plus, you've got the Clippers Jazz coming up tonight as well. That will do it for us here on the Sports Rush. Heath, our winner on White Sox Wednesday. I know Keith. Everybody knows Keith. Congrats, Keith. Glad you won. Enjoy the White Sox game.
We'll
have another
bitter
White Sox Wednesday next week. Huh?
You sound bitter.
No, I just can't believe that it's that Keith and he happened to win. It just, congratulations, Keith. Glad to have you on board with us on this Wednesday. That will do it for us. Wrapping it up with the Sports Rush.
Podcasts by Federated Media.